Somebody shout, there's a whole lot of changing going on. There's an adage that we made famous in churchianity, that couples that pray together, stay together. I know a whole lot of bishop and bishopresses that pray together that ain't together. Right? Say it with me. People that change together, stay together. So there are folk that pray together, but they wouldn't change. Matter of fact, the moment somebody refuses to change, the divorce clock starts ticking. Because if somebody said, we're going to stay together, we're going to have to change together. Life is about change. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Because how many of you know if you're not changing, you're not growing? If you're not growing, you are presently dying. So we want to make sure that we are embracing change. Somebody shout, I'm embracing change. Now what I found, we're going to 2 Corinthians 3 in your Bibles, if you will. We're going there in just a moment. What I found is that most people fear change. Amen. That's why God sends them leadership. I always tell people, if you don't want to change, you don't need me. Hello, somebody. There's no way I can lead you and watch you be stuck. So if you don't want to change, you don't need leadership. Anybody read Exodus chapter 3? Bible says that the Lord saw that the people were under the harsh leadership of the taskmasters. Somebody shout, they were in a less than desirable state. There are people that come into the house of God, they're in a less than desirable state. You don't like where you are, but you don't know how to change it. Whatever God say, God's answer to people in crisis is leadership. God's answer to people who need to change is leadership. Hello, somebody. So I always tell people, if you don't want to change, you don't need leadership. You don't need me if you don't want to change. Y'all got that?
Say it.
Most people fear change. I'm going to tell you, I'm already preaching. Most people fear, say, people fear change. The fear of change means that you're listening to the wrong narrator of the outcomes. Somebody's telling you something about the change that's not true. Look, somebody tell me, I think he's a liar. Problem with Satan lying is that he's good at it. Come on, somebody. But people fear change. Say, people fear change.
People fear change.
Because they're listening to the wrong narrator of the outcome.
Say it.
Y'all hear that? Somebody shout, my times and my seasons are in God's hands. Somebody shout, he knows the plans he has for me. Plans of good and not of evil. Elbow somebody, tell them, that's why I don't fear change. No matter what happened, I'm going to be all right. Now, and I'm going to say this boldly. No matter what happened, the people with me going to be all right.
Come on.
Hell, ask somebody who you with. Oh, it matters who you with. When you navigate in trouble, it matters who you with. When you're going through a storm, it matters who you with. Y'all remember when Paul went through a storm on that ship? 200 and some people were with Paul, and the only reason they survived was because of who they were with. Look, somebody tell me, it matters who you with when you're going through trouble. Y'all got that? One man that hears from God can save your life. Bible says that the angel of the Lord stood next to Paul and encouraged him and said, nobody on this ship gonna die. Right. Listen what the angel of the Lord told Paul. He said, I have given you the life of everybody with you.
Come on now. Say it.
Y'all hear that?
Yes.
The Lord told Paul, because you on the boat, I'm gonna save everybody with you.
Come on.
Y'all hear what I just said? Look, somebody tell me, it matters who you with when you're going through trouble. So the problem with many of us with navigating change is you don't know who to listen to. I was talking with somebody today, and I was reiterating, what am I doing?
Perfect. Don't hold the bottom.
Don't hold the bottom? All right. Started at the bottom, now I'm here.
Sounds right.
Somebody shout, it matters who you with.
It matters who you with.
Now I was talking with someone today about the voices. Somebody shout, voices matter.
Voices matter.
Now, never listen to the voice that encourages you not to change. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? And I was talking with someone today, and one of the reasons they went through a season of a whole lot of trouble is because they sought counsel from me and their friends. Guess who they listened to? Guess what they got into? Exactly. Hello, me and your friends ain't got the same latitude in your life. We are not equal. They went down a rabbit trail, and I've seen people like that don't understand what oversight really means. Y'all got that? Because God anoints oversight to help you to brave the changes necessary to land where you should land prophetically.
Right.
Y'all got that?
Yes.
Those who really care about your soul don't give you convenient instructions.
Come on.
Ay, ay, ay. Those who care about your destiny don't give you convenient instructions. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So people fear change because they're listening to the wrong narrator of the outcomes.
Uh-huh.
Say fear.
Fear
is an enemy to change.
It's an enemy to change.
Number next, write this down. Resistance. People resist change because in order to embrace change, you got to give up some habits.
That's right.
Oh God.
Yes.
Y'all got that?
Yes.
You got to address certain habits that you have. And you know why God is always prompting change? And here's why. Because habits are thoughtless behavior.
Come on.
Just like God wants you thinking about some stuff now. So he has mandated change. And that change requires you to confront some habits that are no longer good for you. Or to abandon some comfort zones.
Come on.
I was talking with someone else today who's getting over the illusion of job security.
Uh-huh.
Hello, somebody. There is no job security. There is no relational security. There is no social security. Tell somebody, your only security is knowing that you're in the will of God. But people resist change because, watch this now, because change will always confront, it'll come straight for your habits that are not working in God's interest. Y'all got that? Habits mean you're no longer thinking. You're on autopilot. Y'all got that? So people fear change, people resist change, and write this down, people exaggerate change. I'm going to have to drive all the way across town. You drive across town for stupid stuff. People exaggerate change in order to keep themselves from making the necessary step.
Come on now.
Y'all got that? Somebody shout, change is a good thing. Now let's see why. Turn over, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 3:18. I think that's where we're going. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So we can give you some principles for navigating change. Because in this house, things are changing.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, I hear people say, we just changed. Well, we're changing again.
Yes.
Hello, why we keep changing? Tell somebody, because we keep hearing. One of the ways that you know you're hearing God is that you keep changing. Y'all got that? Now watch this now. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. Somebody shout, beholding.
Beholding. Are
changed into the same image. Watch this. From glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to write these principles down because we're talking principles for navigating change. Number one, God does not change. Tell somebody, God does not change. He doesn't change at all. God does not change. Y'all got that? There are many times God shifts his methodology to accommodate his will. But God himself in his person, in his essence, does not change. Y'all got that? Even though God does not change, look at this first part of the verse. Somebody shout, we're beholding. So since we are beholding, somebody shout, I see him. And seeing him constantly changes me.
Come on.
Y'all got that? Tell somebody, if you ain't changing, you ain't beholding. Matter of fact, let me tell you something about change when it comes to the corporate dynamic. When you are really beholding God, you see the changes coming even before the man of God announces.
Come on, that's right.
Oh, y'all did not hear what I just said. Say, what am I now? Come on, say it with me. What am I now? I want you to ask somebody, are you flexible enough to keep up with what God is doing? Come on, y'all want to talk to the neighbor here? You better talk to your neighbor while I'm up in here. Say, neighbor, are you flexible enough to keep in step with what God is doing? Y'all got that? Write this down. There is no tenure in the kingdom of God. Y'all did not hear what I've been in the way 30 years. Right, in the way. There is, say it with me, there is no tenure in the kingdom of God. Anybody know God will pop a Janet Jackson on you in a minute? What have you done for me lately?
Come on now.
There are, listen, the number of years you've been in a place don't mean you're relevant. Your relevance is not defined by how long you've been coming through a door, a threshold. Your relevance is defined by what needs are you meeting. Now, you know what I found about people? Somebody shout, the needs of people are changing. Say, the needs of people are changing. The question is, are you changing to meet the changing needs of people? Y'all, I don't know about this technology. Well, that's where people are. Y'all got that? You resist change to your own detriment. You're either going to be an agent of change or you become a victim of change. But many of us don't understand. Just because you've been saved for 30 years don't mean you are relevant. I didn't say you were not important to God. I said you can be important to God and irrelevant to the move of God.
Come on now.
Why? Tell somebody shout, because you won't change.
Because you won't change.
Y'all got that?
Yes.
Knowing God constantly changes us. Beholding God constantly provokes changes in you. Isn't that right? You know, matter of fact, let me share something about marriage. Let's talk about marriage for just a moment, right? If you see God, all you're ever concerned about is how you need to change. I'm in a marriage teaching house. There's no way you can worship God. There's no way you can be a worshiper of God and you go to God about your spouse and not have God tell you how you need to change.
That's right.
Every time I ever go to God about my wife, God get with me about me.
That's right.
And show me where I need to change.
That's right.
Somebody shout, change.
Change
comes from beholding. We just read it.
Yes.
If you ain't changing, you ain't beholding God. You mad. You looking over at him. You mad. Sitting there staring at him. That's why you ain't changing. Y'all did not hear what I just said. Just by looking at them is the reason you won't change. How? But when you begin looking at him, then he begins soliciting changes in you that begin to have a dramatic impact on them.
Come on now.
Y'all got that?
Yeah.
There are many of us that want, you desire something that your present condition can't produce. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said. And in order to have it, somebody shout, to get what I want, I got
to
give what I should. Oh, we ain't ready for that conversation right there. Say it with me again. To get what I want, I got
to
give what I should. So many people in the body of Christ want to harvest without sowing a seed. Hello, somebody. I tell somebody, you got to die for what you want. Oh, who am I talking to in this house? Everything you want in God, you got to die to something in order to get it. Y'all got that? Paradigm shift through a sacrifice. If you don't like the way the things are, you got to die to something to bring them to a new place. Y'all got that? Somebody shout, beholding him.
Beholding.
Now watch this now. When things stop changing, the people in charge of things have stopped beholding. Y'all hear what I just said? Y'all better be glad you got a leader that's still hearing God. Because a leader who hears God will keep provoking you to change. Come on, somebody. That's how you know that your leader is hearing God. Because God is saying stuff to them that makes you constantly look at yourself and the need to make transitions. Somebody shout, whatever I was,
whatever I was,
I can't be that no more. That's how you know you're under good leadership. It's because you look at yourself and you know, tell somebody, you know you got to share this version of you. And when you are under good leadership, you want to keep shedding this version of you. Why? Because something in them is provoking me to draw nearer to him. Y'all got that? I'm concerned about being connected to any leader that the way they are doesn't provoke you to get better.
Come on.
Y'all hear what I just said? If you cannot see God, you will not seize what's next in God. Somebody shout, I see God.
I see God.
Now turn over to Proverbs 21 for just a moment. We're navigating change tonight. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give you some principles for navigating change, because one of the things that we do is, as leaders, is make change less scary for you. Y'all got that? Yes. Somebody shout, be bold and courageous.
Be bold and courageous.
Somebody shout, things are changing.
Things are changing.
And I'm going toward the changes.
I'm going toward the changes.
Y'all got that? Yes. You resist to your own detriment.
Yes, sir.
You resist to your own detriment. You know, I was talking with somebody today, and they were telling me how they were in a season of delay. And I'm like, because you have, and matter of fact, it was about an employment situation. They had worked a long time for an employer. All of a sudden, employer just laid them off. And they're like, God, when you going to open the door? And you know what I told them? I said, here's the reason God ain't answering. I said, because you still want to be an employee, and God has made you an employer. You set a meeting with me. We prayed before this meeting started. I am saying what God is saying.
Okay.
You looking for a job and God want to make you an employer.
Come on. Yeah.
Somebody shout, things have shifted. Ask somebody, can you tell when things are shifted?
Yeah.
See that? Because some of us, you beat your head against the wall because things have shifted and you won't. Y'all got that?
Yes.
What you're used to. Tell somebody, comfort is your enemy.
Comfort. You
want to blame somebody else for the big picture. It's easy to be an employee because you get to complain about everything. It ain't on you. It's like people that pastor from the pew. Oh, it's easy to be a member. It's easy to be an employee because you can make all these statements, but you could not effectuate the changes necessary to keep this thing together and moving forward. Y'all hear that? All right, so now watch this now. The Bible said in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, somebody shout, he turn it.
He turn.
Somebody shout, he turn it.
He turn.
Whithersoever he will.
Right.
Verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. Number one, change comes by God changing the heart of a leader.
Yes.
Y'all got that?
Yes.
Whenever God wants to change a people, all he does is change the heart of a leader. Everybody connected to leadership begins to change with a changing leader.
Yes.
Y'all got that? You know, I've only, before starting Manifestation Worldwide, I've only been a member of one church. Cathedral of Faith Church, 30th and Hannah. Apostle James Howe, right? Every single time that ministry made a shift or transition. For example, when I joined that church, it was an institutional Baptist church. Anybody remember that? And I never forget, I was in prayer and the Lord told me to ask my then pastor. He said, ask your bishop when he's gonna move that barricade from in front of the church.
Come on.
Nothing more, nothing less. Mm. So I'm out there cutting the grass and trimming the hedges. You know, hello. How many know when you serve, your voice matters?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Say that again.
There, a lot of people are easily ignored because you don't serve. You just talk. I think we all do. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what you think. You're not a servant. If you're not a servant, nobody cares about what you think. I said it in your face. If you're not a servant, nobody cares what you think. If you're not a servant, nobody cares about what you know. So I was out there cutting the grass and trimming the hedges, and I said, he walking through the lot. I said, Bishop, the Lord told me to ask you when you're going to move that barricade from in front of church. He knew exactly what I was talking about.
Wow.
You know why? Because God ain't going to talk to me before him. God was confirming to him what he already said to him.
Yes.
And shortly thereafter, we made the transition from Institutional Baptist to a Word of Faith church, right? Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I helped to teach the church into the change. Because how many know change doesn't happen in a vacuum? Somebody shout, there has to be catalyst.
That's right.
Ask somebody, are you a servant of the changes being made? Or are you part of the complaints about the changes being made?
You
know why people complain? Because they can't hear God. Because if you heard God, you knew exactly what this is all about.
Right. Yes.
Nobody complains more than people that are left out of spiritual loop.
Wow.
I'll say that again. Nobody complains more than people that are left out of the spiritual loop. Your problem is not the changes. Your problem is that you didn't hear the changes from God.
Yes.
And so now when the man of God talks about change, oh, what is this? Oh God, what are we doing now? Tell me, you should have already heard it.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
should have already been conditioned in your heart to be whatever the vision needed to go to the next level. Somebody shout, God! What am I now? Are you flexible enough to keep up with the move of the Spirit? And for me, I'm whatever the vision needs. If the vision needs it, I'm going to learn it. If I got to inconvenience myself, I'm going to make it happen for my man of God. If I got to get off work and come do it late night because, and I ain't going to complain about, well, all the leaders, everybody's supposed to be a leader. No, I'm here, I'm doing it. Hello, shut up and serve. I'm here, I'm doing it. Y'all got that? And now, I'm going to set the example of what leaders should do. I'm not going to sit back and complain about the leadership paradigm, but I'm going to serve as an example of how leaders should treat the vision of God. And somebody's going to follow your example. Before you know, you're going to be part of what shifts the paradigm on how people with titles pick up towels. It only takes one person to create a whole paradigm shift of change when it comes to servitude of the vision. But God always spoke to me. It's what you are now. So by the time Bishop called me in the office, said, son, here's what I want, right? God's like, I already told you. I'm ready to go. Watch this now. I already put together some material for that. Yeah. Somebody shout, I saw it coming. Because I'm in the vein of change. Come on, say it with me. I saw it coming because I'm in the vein of change. Ask somebody, are you in the vein of change? Y'all got that? So I already been tooling myself up because I saw, God told me, that I was going to have to teach these people terminologies about these changes you're about to make. They don't understand what it means we're going from this to that. So I'm now teaching catechism classes to help people to make a shift. Somebody shout, I'm here to help people shift. That's what leaders do. A leader should never be the reason people don't shift.
Come on now.
You want to ask me? I don't know what they're doing. How we become they when you don't like what we're doing? Tell somebody, you are us.
You are us.
And I really just don't understand. Oh, you understand. You just rebel with questions.
Or they can't control it.
Y'all hear what I just said? Some people rebel with questions. You know exactly what this is about. But you rebel with questions that have already been answered. All right, let's move on. Complacency is the proof that you've got comfortable not hearing God. Hello, somebody. Complacency is the proof that you have become comfortable not hearing God. Here's number two. We're talking about navigating change. Numbers chapter 14, verse 4. Go there real quick. Numbers 14, verse 4. And it says there, and they said to each other, now this those Israelites, right? Stubborn people. We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.
Well.
Hello. Get a clue. You ain't choose the one you got.
Come on.
You know, I was talking with someone earlier today, because they're in the selection process for a new church. And I said to them, this is what I said, right? I asked them one question. I said, your biological parents, did you pick them? No. You don't get to pick your parents. Biologically or spiritually. Tell somebody, you get to hear God and do what God said. That's what you get to do. If you got any sense, you'll stop picking churches like you pick. This ain't the difference between Wawa and mobile. Tell somebody, it matters where you get fuel. There's some good people that ain't for you. I'm not saying they're bad leaders. I'm saying they're not yours. Everybody's not the anointed voice in your life. So watch this now. So you do not pick spiritual leaders in churches like you pick gas stations. You hear God and be led by God's Spirit. Not everybody can deal with you. I know for a fact, I pastor some folk nobody else in the city could pastor. I know it for a fact. Y'all, some of them in this room right now. But tell somebody, I'm anointed for your crazy self. Your crazy don't bother me. Now, here's even better. I know how to help you get out of crazy into character. Come on, tell somebody, I'm not everybody's anointed for you. Therefore, somebody tell you, you do not get to pick your parents. You get to hear God and be led by His Spirit. 1994, Saturday night, Cincinnati, Ohio. God told me exactly who Apostle James Howell was to me and what I was to his ministry. Now, from that moment, 7 years later, started Manifestation Worldwide. But from that moment, say it with me, anything could happen. You could not have run me out of that place with a torch. If you had a flamethrower, you couldn't have run me out of that building. You know why? I'm a man under instruction now. I know exactly what, I know exactly who he is to me. I know exactly what I am to this. Oh, I ain't here for nothing y'all got going on. You know, like people, I told somebody today, like, I've been 32 years saved. I don't know nothing about no church hurt.
That's right.
I don't know nothing about being offended with people, being hurt. You know, I told somebody today, I said, I have had way more opportunities and invitations to be offended and hurt than you ever experienced. Tell somebody, but it wasn't a subpoena. Oh, tell your neighbor, an invitation is not a subpoena.
Come on now.
And whenever you get hurt, you're invited to be hurt. It's not, tell somebody, you don't have to go. You don't have to show up to the scene of that foolishness. Somebody said, I choose holiness and I reject hurt. Now I'm telling you, from light on to crazy, I have dealt with every flavor of foolishness church folk can dish out. But I choose holiness. And for me, it's very simple. Say it with me, what's my sign? When I know my assignment, I don't need you to like me for me to lead you. Y'all know what I just said? I don't need to be liked by you. Elbow somebody tell me, I like me enough for both of us. I came in here with my soul intact. I'm not desperate for you liking me. What did God tell me I am in your life? That's all I'm concerned about. You liking me is not rewardable. Do what's rewardable. And what it say, obedience is rewardable. All I'm concerned about is what God told me I am in your life. What's my assignment? Say it with me. There's an assignor. There's an assignee. There's an assignment. That's the arrangement. That's the arrangement. Y'all got that? So-and-so doing witchcraft. It'll ricochet. It don't work on me. Tell me I'm anointed for this. I don't fight people. What I found out, say, wherever there's an assignment, there's an anointing. Say, when it's the anointing, it's not me. It's dangerous to come against the anointing that's on my life. So it's not even me doing this. I don't want to do this. Say, it is the anointing. Y'all got that? So 32 years in the body of Christ, I don't know nothing about no church hurt. I know about church love. I love the beautiful body of Christ. Say it with me. I'm part of her becoming. I often give this illustration, especially to leaders, right? Anybody ever, ladies, any of y'all ever been part of a wedding party? Like brides, raise your hand if you've been a bridesmaid in a wedding party, right? Almost all of y'all, right? So now when y'all was in there with the bride, right? Were y'all in there talking about, ooh, girl, you so ugly. I don't know why he chose you. I look better than you. Y'all ain't never done that? Oh, so because you were a bridesmaid, you were part of her beautification process for her presentation to the group.
Sit.
Tell somebody, that's what you are in the church. You are here. Tell your neighbor, you are here for the beautification of the bride of Christ. You ain't here to tell her how ugly she is.
Come on. Yes, sir.
You're not here to tell her how unworthy she is to have him.
Come on now.
Y'all got that?
Got it.
Tell somebody, you ain't here for all that.
That's right.
I'm just keeping it real.
No.
Well, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Keeping it real. You're stupid. Because you don't get what God is up to in the body of Christ. Fuck. And remember this. Say it with me. We are us.
Yeah.
If there's a problem, you part of the problem.
That's right.
Yeah. Y'all see how French people get when their successes? Wee-wee. But the moment there's a problem, they. Hey, they. Watch this now. So the principle, resistance to change, happens because everyone has their own ideas about what is right. Y'all got that? Resistance to change happens because everybody has their own ideas about what is right. These folk, God gave them a leader with the assignment to take them up out of Egypt through a wilderness into a promised land. They want to appoint another leader and go back to what they were in bondage to. Think about how stupid it is when you won't submit. So the principle of submission was introduced to keep right people focused on the same goals. Y'all got what I'm saying? Look, somebody tell me everybody's right. But in order for right people to remain focused on the same goals, somebody got to submit. Y'all got that? Now, the worst case scenario to submission, because some people think submission is a bad word in the church. The worst case scenario to submission is this. Submission is your decision to allow me to be wrong if I'm the one ultimately responsible. I lead a whole lot of people. I delegate a whole lot of stuff. I don't start anything to run it myself. Everything I start, I give it to somebody else. My job as a visionary is to see. Y'all got that? So I'm huge on delegation. I give almost everything away to other people to do. I often say, and I'm teaching right now on the psychology of pastoral ministry, I would rather have 20 people who do one thing well than have one person who does 20 things. Mm-hmm. One person doing 20 things is dangerous for a ministry. Yes. Yes. Oh, because when they get in their feelings, 20 things are going down. So I believe in spreading the responsibility over a wider group of people. Y'all got that? But now here's the thing. No matter what I delegate, I'm still the one blamed if something go wrong. I can't delegate final accountability to nobody else. Y'all got that? So leadership is accepting that if it all goes wrong, it's on me. Does that make sense? All right. So now think about this. So that's why submission is important where everybody's right. It's because wherever there's a bunch of right people, somebody's got to submit to somebody's direction. Does that make sense? Here's number three. Change is nearly never self-initiated. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Exodus 3, 7. The Lord says, surely I've seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Somebody shout, God knows where I am. So change is nearly never self-initiated. If you lack ownership to the new thing, you will not give your best to it. Y'all got that? Change is never sought after within a comfort zone. Excuses are another way of saying, I resist change. Oh, God. What had happened, right? Well, what had happened was, no, you resist change. You resist change. Y'all got that? Change will not become a reality until the cost of having a new reality has been accepted. Ask somebody, have you paid the cost for the new reality? Change will not be manifest until you rebel against the old reality. Y'all got that? Now here's the fourth thing, principles. Change will always confront your habits and your norms. Yes. Wherever there's a mandate for change, somebody shout, God is once again confronting my habits. God is once again confronting my norm. There's a lot of stuff I got on autopilot that won't work the next season of my life. Oh, God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Habit is a stage where I no longer have to think before I act. That's why God is confronted. Habit is our admission that we are fine if God does not move. Y'all got that? Habit does not require God. Y'all understand that? You know, this is why I'm always concerned about people that get so comfortable with things within the work, they don't even think about what they're doing. They're just on autopilot, going through the motions. Y'all got that? See, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Whenever you're just going through the motion, your heart is shifted away from God. Y'all got that? Change can exacerbate the fear of the unknown. Y'all got that? The most responsible thing that you can do is to position yourself to hear God when the shift is on and change as required. Y'all got that? If you bend your ear to stubborn people, you will not qualify to be a part of the new thing. Girl, I just needed somebody to talk to because I don't know if I agree with all this stuff they doing. There go they again. There go they. Tell somebody, don't bend your heart to stubborn people. See, they're the ones causing you to not qualify for what God is doing next. And whenever God has excluded somebody, ooh, they get mad. They get mad. The problem is they wouldn't make the adjustment.
That's right.
They wouldn't make the shift. And God said, all right, you're not a part of it. Y'all got that? Y'all remember Moses, right? Moses let people get in under his skin. God said, speak to the rock. Change your methodology. I know the last time you struck the rock, somebody shout, there's changes in the air. And you got to be able to hear when something changes, because there's some things you got on autopilot. Hitting the rock was on autopilot. Been there, done that. When you get offended, you can't hear God. Y'all did not hear what I just said. Well, tell me, when you get offended with people, you're going to miss critical instructions from God. That's the plan of the enemy. To get you so aggravated with people, you can't hear God, and something is shifting, and you can't hear the instructions. And now when it shifts, tell me, you're going to be big mad. Know why you're big mad? Because you left out because you couldn't hear. God didn't exclude you of his own accord. You excluded yourself by not being positioned to hear God when he was speaking about the changes that were taking place. Does that make sense? Say it with me. God won't work past my will to get his will done. Y'all understand that? I never want to be the guy God used to use. I never want to be that guy that got to look back and go, oh, I remember when the Lord used to. I remember when the Lord, ooh, the Lord. Right? Here's number next. The progressive knowledge of God requires constant change. I said it earlier. Say it with me. He changes not. Knowing him changes me. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. I was talking a moment ago about 47 years of marriage, 34 years of marriage, right? You realize that when you spend, I spend most of my life with one person. Think about that, right? There's a whole lot of changing that we have had to do in this process of keeping in step with one another and still being in love with one another and still working on things with one another. There's a whole lot of changes involved with that, right? And what happens a lot of time with us, some of us think we've made so many changes, we should not have to make any more. Tell somebody, you have not graduated from the need to change. Long as you're in the flesh, blood, and bone body, you will never graduate from the need to change. Look, somebody tell me there's some need to change about you right now. Come on, tell your neighbor, while you're sitting here looking holy, there's some need to change about you right now. Look, somebody tell me, you are not as delivered as you should be. Hello, somebody. How many know we all a work in progress? How many know you're a work in progress? Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, remember that when you see another work in progress. Change threatens our proficiency. Now here's why. Because somebody shout, we easily get a love affair with what we're good at. You know, I want you to think about this for just a moment. So I come from Gary, Indiana, and I got a family. I come from a family of thugs, right? Real gang members and all this other kind of stuff were part of my family, right? Bicycle clubs and all that, you know. And so not much I was afraid of growing up. I had six uncles and literally my family would drive over to people's house and beat them up in the front yard. That's the family I came from, right? It's not much I was afraid of. But one thing I did fear in life was standing before a group of people and speaking. Isn't that so? And then I'm extremely introverted. Like, this is the most outgoing I ever am right here. My wife is sitting right there. She'll tell you. Right? This is all anointing. This is all grace. This is all God meeting the needs in the room. I don't like being in crowds. Now think about this. I prefer being home with my family. That's my preference. I like solitude. I like silence. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So what does God call me to do? Pastor a mega church. Tell somebody, God don't care about your preferences. Say neighbor. Over here are your preferences. Come on, say neighbor. Right over here are your preferences. Now tell your new neighbor, say new neighbor. Way over here is your calling. Your preferences are over there. Your calling is over here. Ask me why. So you know you need him to do this. Because you would much rather do that. Listen, I tell them, the Lord's will will constantly make you uncomfortable. That's normal. That's what's normal walking with God, is that you're constantly thrown into something that makes you uncomfortable. But you no longer care because you no longer need any external security. Look, somebody tell me, I don't need anything externally to comfort me. Now here's why. He gave me a comfort. Can I help you out? Can I help you out? You ain't getting out of what's making you uncomfortable.
Say it.
Can I help you out? You're not getting out of what's currently making you uncomfortable. You will learn to be comfortable in it. Because you already have a comforter, and it's not circumstance. It's a person of the Holy Ghost. Y'all got that? Say it with me. I can be fine wherever I am. Because my comforter is within. You know what makes trouble less troubly? Is when the Holy Ghost is talking to you through it. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
See, when he's speaking, you ain't in a hurry to get out. Hi-ya. I'm just interested in your will while I'm going through this. Does that make sense? All right. So change threatens. Say change threatens my proficiency. Y'all got that? Adaptation, write this down, is the evidence of a humble heart. That's how you know that you really are humble in heart, is that you'll just, somebody shout, I'm just making the adjustment because there's grace for adaptation. Now, let me give you this and I'm done in the next 5 minutes. All right, five. Hindrances to embracing change. And this is what stops many of us from making change in life, right? The context of our lives is constantly shifting to the degree that we are hearing God and doing what God wants. Y'all got that? There are people in your life who benefit greatly from you not changing. Your job is to find out who they are and make the necessary adjustments to shift them out of your life. Y'all got that? That's why they have a problem with you getting the truth necessary to make changes. See, why are you going to that church? To get delivered from you. Being with you is what got me where I am. Say change has a new set of priorities. Reprioritization is the proof that you're committed to change. Y'all got that? I know I need to change. You know, like I have people that say all the time, I know I need to change. I'm working on me. And you know what I ask them? Where are your tools? You ain't working on nothing if you don't have tools. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Getting older ain't gonna get you better. Hello, somebody. Where are you? In order to change, you have to have tools that are meant to effectuate change. Is that right? Many of us are too lazy to change. Y'all got that? Because change is work. Say change is work. Now, emotionalism is the soul's attempt to sabotage your decision to change. Your soul is rebelling against what you need to do to make your life better. See that? You got to feel stuff. There's a fundamental part of walking with God that's very simple, right? Say it with me. I don't need to feel anything to do what God said. Make the decision, let your emotions catch up. Right. Feelings follow choices. Yes. Right. Hello? Amen. You'll feel better when you do better.
Right.
Because your feelings are slaves to your decisions. Right. Y'all got that?
Right.
So emotionalism is your soul's attempt to sabotage the changes necessary to shift your life to where you're trying to go. See that? Anything you say I'm gonna do when I feel like it, that right there is a problem.
Right.
Hello, tell somebody you shouldn't need to feel nothing to do what you know you need to do. I got to get my mind ready. Your mind ain't going to never get ready to do what you really need to do. Hello, somebody.
Yes.
Do it before you start thinking about doing it. Because emotionalism does not change anything. Lastly, effectuating change. Change is not received until it's conceived. You got to get pregnant with change. Ask somebody, are you pregnant with change? You know, right now, there are many of us right now, right? If you're hearing God, God is already talking to you about what's coming next in your life. Mm-hmm. See that? All right? Now, why? Because whenever God is doing anything prophetically, before there is a manifestation, there's a conception.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God. Ask somebody, what are you pregnant with right now? Oh, you know, when you get pregnant, you got to change some things.
That's right. That's right.
Hello? When you get pregnant, you got to change some things. You got to change your patterns. You got to change your diet. There are things that you have to do because you have to consider. Ask somebody, are you considering what you're birthing? So these changes are in consideration. Say, these changes are in consideration of what I'm birthing. And some of you right now, whenever God starts showing you a new reality, somebody shout, I conceived it. But now after you have conceived change, you got to now accommodate the birth of what it is you saw. Y'all did not hear what I just said. You will not get what you saw doing the same thing and being the same way. Does that make sense? And you know what many of us do, right? We blame delay on God. And God's like, you have not become what you need to be to accommodate what you saw. Y'all did not hear what I just said. Tell somebody, you are not waiting on God. You ain't waiting on God at all. There's something supposed to happen in you to accommodate what it is you saw. I was telling our church recently, right? How many of you got a word from the Lord that's hanging over your life right now? How many got prophecies from the Lord? How many got prophetic word from the Lord? How many got promises from the Lord? Now I want you to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, this version of you will not see what you saw. This version of you will not accommodate it. In order to have something else, you got to become somebody else. You got to become. What you saw requires something different about you. Who you present to the world has to be different to see that. Oh, God. That thing tells me it's not delayed. It's the depth of me as I perceive me. Y'all did not hear what I just said. It's not delayed. It's the depth of me as I currently perceive me. Y'all got that? So when hope is in your heart, then it'll also flood your habits. You really want to change, it'll show up in your habits. How many know change must be worked like a new job? Lastly, I want you to think about this. Change is not change until something has changed. Change is not change until something has changed. You know, there are many of us right now, you are in the valley of decision making. When it comes to doing some things that the Lord has put in your life, there's some of you right now, there's something this ministry needs that you need to become. Why?
Say it.
Because change doesn't happen in a vacuum. There has to be a catalyst. You know, there are things that when my spiritual leader spoke them, I'm like, I ain't finna pray about it. I ain't finna call for no meeting. I'm finna figure out how to make this happen. Because if he said it, I'm a part of it. Y'all got that? Because I want to make sure that as long as I'm a part of this thing, what God wants to do is going to get done. As long as I'm a part of this, I want to be a part of what constitutes progress and advancement for this. I want to make sure this man of God has sweatless victories. There's a whole lot he should never have to think about once he's spoken. Y'all got that? Father, we thank you tonight for what you are doing here at the Refresher. We thank you, Lord God, for this man of God. We thank you for his labor of love. We thank you, Lord God, for 30 years of laboring to see the heart of the people of God transform. 30 years of building and advancing the kingdom of God. 30 years of sowing into the lives of your people that which constitutes growth and advancement. Now, Lord, we thank you right now that the outstanding balance over the lives of the Phillips. We thank you for that balance. We lay hold on that balance by faith. And we thank you that right now, you are bringing into their field of ministry, their sphere of influence, everything they need to do everything that you have called them to do. We thank you right now for giving them favor. City officials, favor with governments, favor. Thank you that people that must make decisions on their behalf. We thank you that you're touching their heart. You said the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. You turn it like a water course whithersoever you desire. So Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the acceleration and proliferation of that which has been purposed over the life of this man and woman of God and this great mission and this great work. Now, Father, we ask in the name of the Lord that the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and hath no sorrow would superabound in this house. That your glory will fill this house. That the lives of your people will be transformed. And we'll be mindful to give you the praise and thanks for all that you do. Let's give the Lord thanks and praise tonight. Listen, if you are unmarried, or if you got kids that are unmarried, I wrote a new book called Unripe, The Journey to Becoming Husband Material. Because these folk don't know what they're doing out here in these streets. So if you got somebody that needs instructions on how to prepare themselves for a serious relationship, I got that. Also, damage-free dating. Practical keys for dating with dignity. So I brought those tonight if you're interested. They're only $12 each if you would like to partake in these. Amen? Let's give the Lord thanks and praise. I want to turn this over to whoever's in charge. Amen. Take the offering. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Well, listen, we... Give me that envelope on my desk. Amen. We want to take this opportunity to sow into this man and woman of God and sow into this great work. Amen. Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Look, somebody tell them the blessing is on the giver. It's where the blessing resides, on the giver. So many people I talk to them about breaking the yoke of poverty off of their lives, and I tell them what God told me when I experienced poverty over 30 years ago. The Lord said, you're going to have to give your way out of this. It didn't make sense. It made faith. And from that time until now, you know, I think about these 30 plus years, I've never spent the tithe on anything but the tithe. I believe in giving. I believe in helping the poor. I believe in helping those who can do nothing for us in return. And so I believe in giving. And I really believe in giving to the man and to the woman of God. I was talking to one of my pastors that I oversee this week, and he was telling me how after years, he just now started taking a salary at his church, right? He's like, and I feel bad about taking a salary. And you know what I said to him? I said, those people need to sow into your life. Well, I don't need it. They need to. People don't understand honor. They want, somebody shout, honor creates a power climate of well-being in my life. People don't know how to honor the anointing that God put in their life. And they don't understand the ramifications of doing so. Y'all got that? I believe in giving. I believe in blessing the men and women of God. Amen? Unashamedly. Because I do understand the principle of it. God said to Abraham, I'm blessed those that bless you. Y'all got that? How many know you give to the poor, but you bless a blessed man? And tonight we came to bless a blessed man. Amen? Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to sow into this man and this woman of God. Lord, remember them for the kindness that they have shown to your people. Remember them for their labor of love and their sacrifice for the advancement of your purpose. Remember them, Lord God, for the days and the nights that they have spent counseling the people of God.